I'm delighted now to welcome Joe Medeiros and Justine Mestichelli Medeiros. They are co-producers of the film The Missing Piece, Mona Lisa, Her Thief, The True Story, which is screening at The Screen on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Joe is also the writer and director of the film. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thanks for having us. Great to be speaking with you this morning.
So this is a documentary about something that I didn't even know happened. It was the theft of the Mona Lisa from the Louvre about 100 years ago, 1911. How did you come across this story and start researching it?
Well, I was a young man in 1976. I was 25 years old. I had just graduated from film school, and I was, you know, looking for possible topics to make a film out of. And I opened a book one day on Leonardo da Vinci and read a single sentence that the painting was stolen. And like you, I had that reaction. It's like, what? The Mona Lisa was stolen? I didn't know that. When did that happen?
Yeah, and you told me that, and I looked at you and said, what? Mona Lisa was stolen? I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, that's the common reaction. It's a very little-known fact of this world-famous painting.
It turned out to be stolen by an Italian named Vincenzo Perugia. Who was he?
He was an immigrant workman from the north of Italy, almost near the Swiss border. And he had emigrated to Paris in the early 1900s to work because he was a painter-decorator. You know, he wasn't like somebody to slap whitewash on a wall. He was somebody that, you know, would do the fine decoration of, you know, in well-to-do homes. So he had that skill, which he learned in Italy, and then he applied his trade in Paris, where there was work for lots of Italian craftsmen who knew how to do that.
And the story is so interesting because in addition to the theft of the Mona Lisa, there are some other themes like prejudice against Italian immigrants in Paris at the turn of the century.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what, you know, as we got into the story, all that sort of unfolded because when I first learned about this, 30-some years ago, I was always curious as to why this man would do it. What would drive him to do it? And I came upon the fact that his co-workers had made fun of him, had called him macaroni, had looked down on him. And you know, that resonated because, you know, we see that in our society today. And I come from an Italian-Portuguese background, and Justine comes from an Italian background. So that's very much in the culture of our
upbringing,
our family, that, you know, if you're anybody in any immigrant culture knows that, you know, when you go into the host country, you're sometimes running into some problems.
Yeah, you're usually ostracized for taking jobs away from the population that has those jobs to begin with. And someone like Perugia, who, because of his training as a young man, was skilled at these decorative arts, not at the higher level, but at the laborer level, he was able to take jobs away from the French population, so he became the butt of their prejudice.
Turns out it was pretty easy to steal art 100 years ago.
Yeah, they didn't worry much about art theft. I mean, back then, you know, paintings obviously were being purchased by the well-to-do, but it's not like, you know, what we see today is that these things go for hundreds of millions of dollars. So art theft was like the last thing on the mind of the curators of any museum. They were mostly concerned with the safety of the artworks from fire, especially in the Louvre, which was an old palace. And also, at the time, there was a rash of vandalism that people would find a way of protesting their lot in life, whether, you know, they were out of work or they hated their parents or they just wanted to see their name in the papers, by going into museums and slashing canvases, throwing paint on the canvases, throwing acid on them. So, ironically, the Louvre decided to protect their greatest works of art by putting them under glass, museums today, putting them under glass. And Perugia happened to work for the glazing company that that did it. So that was his in the loop. He was one of the guys to cut and clean the glass.
We won't talk about why he did it, because there were so many theories about why he did it that you examine in the film, and we want to leave some surprises for the people who go see this film. We're talking about the film The Missing Piece, Mona Lisa, Her Thief, The True Story. But I find it interesting that you, the two of you, I guess, pulled out just tons of material about the theft and about Vincenzo Perugia. Had anyone actually researched this topic before?
Yes, they really did. I mean, there are books, there have been movies, there have been lots of articles written about the theft. But nobody was really piecing together the information from primary source documents. If they had seen them, they had seen minimal, parts of these documents, so they really couldn't put together the true story. And we were fortunate enough to be able to see all these primary source documents because of technology, and we were able to piece together the story for the first time based on exactly what was in those documents, and not taking secondary sources and extrapolating that information and presenting that as truth.
Yeah, we tried not to rely on newspaper accounts or books written by other people. You know, we had those, we knew what was in them, but our thing was always, okay, can we find this in the court documents, in the police investigative reports, in the Louvre personal documents? So we always went for those first, and then, use newspapers just as a backup.
Well, yes, because the newspaper reports were always conflicting.
Oh, they're
you could never find two pieces of information in those reports that ever were consistent. So how could you possibly base anything you would write or film on those documents? So we knew going in that we absolutely had to have those resources, or we wouldn't be taken as credible.
Plus, the big thing was that we were getting information from the Perugia family themselves. We met the daughter of the thief, Celestina Perugia, who's 84 years old when we filmed her. And really, the film is about our relationship with her desire to find out the truth about her father.
And in that sense, it's also just such a pleasure to watch it, because it is this family film, and you put yourself into the film, Joe, and there's a lot of humor in it, and there's a lot of just a sense of a familiar documentary as opposed to a very formal investigative documentary. And yet you do something that nobody has done before, which is actually put together this whole entire story. One of the pieces of the story that I love is that when they had figured out that the painting was really missing, that it had been stolen, and everybody came up with all kinds of theories. The Germans did it. The Americans did it. It was a criminal syndicate. And they were so unwilling and unable to believe that a humble worker had stolen it that when the police went to Vincenzo Perugia's little room that he was renting and searched it, it was right there and they didn't find it.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Is it that's the part of the story that just that intrigued me in the beginning. It's like, what? The fact that this little guy was able to get away with it. Now, we certainly don't condone, any kind of art theft for any reason at all. But, I grew up in the 60s where, it was a time of anti-heroes, Bonnie and Clyde, Butch and Sundance. So I was always, intrigued by Perugia being able to do this in a very simple way of just taking it and bringing it home. And you're right, the police didn't suspect him because of who he was. And I guess, if you look into it, I won't reveal too much about his motivations, but he was also trying to prove to the French, to the world, and probably to himself that he was more than what they thought he was. And how many of us, we were always trying to, people tend to pigeonhole you no matter who you are or where you are, and you're always trying to show, hey, wait a minute, I'm not that person that you think I am, I'm capable of this. And Perugia, wrongly, rightly or wrongly so, decided to do it by stealing the most famous painting in the world.
And, of course, the obvious thing here is that we all are looking for something bigger in a story, and usually simple pictures are best. And because it was a piece of art, the only people who could possibly have done this would have been somebody, you know, with great intelligence and lots of cunning to craft a scheme. And nine times out of ten, when you look at art theft or most crimes, it's usually a one-man job and somebody you would never suspect, or, you know, a small group of people who really don't have a sophisticated plan like a James Bond. So, you know, type of criminals. It's the kind of thing where you today, even today, we're confounded by the fact that just one person could commit any kind of crime like this.
At the time, the Mona Lisa was certainly a famous painting, but it wasn't the kind of iconic cliche that it is now. Did this theft contribute, do you think, toward building the status, the sort of iconic status of the Mona Lisa that it has today?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things in our film is a famous newspaper, and I won't say what. They'll have to see the film to see who it is. But they printed the wrong picture of the Mona Lisa. They printed a different painting when the painting was stolen. So, yeah, people didn't know what it was. It wasn't the topic of conversation at the dinner table of the average household back then. Sure, the upper class knew it. Sure, the artists knew it. The educated knew it. But the average man or woman was trying to earn a living. They didn't spend their time in museums. So when this painting was stolen, everybody pretty much knew who Leonardo da Vinci was, and they had most likely heard about the Mona Lisa. But when this disappeared, then it became the fodder for jokes, for plays, postcards, illustrations. It really opened the market for, I guess, people capitalizing on this and selling the image in the way that images and paintings had never been sold before.
Well, what's really happened is that the painting was taken out of the frame. So once the Mona Lisa was taken out of the frame, it became... It created this opportunity to do whatever you wanted with her.
Yeah.
And that's how she became a household word, a household name, by this opportunity for her not to be encased in anything anymore. She was everyone's painting.
And there were a series of postcards that an illustrator did, just showing, you know, where's the Mona Lisa today? And they have her in London. Then they have her in Paris. They have her in New York. It really freed a lot of people's creative imaginations to have fun with the painting.
The film is called The Missing Piece, Mona Lisa, Her Thief, The True Story, co-produced by Joe Medeiros and Justine Mestichelli Medeiros, and it is screening at The Screen on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. It's just a delightful movie, really fun to watch and really interesting, and I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thanks for having us, and enjoy the film for whoever goes out and sees it. It's a fun, like you said, it's a fun story, and one that you can impress your friends by knowing the details, because nobody else knows it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Take care.